I think I'm going to stay here until the end of the week and then come out to Vegas.
Oh, nice.
Oh, Vegas! Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can watch Fidel and I lose tons of money.
Wait, what's your game, Han?
Yeah, what isn't my game is the question.
Okay. Get it.
All I know is that Ohm can be nowhere near me. That dude is so unlucky in gambling. I've never seen anything like it.
Because he's too honest, man. He's just too honest. Welcome to the Hoop Collective. I'm Cassidy Huppers from NYC. Ramona Shelburne out in, the center of the sports world, LA. And we are also joined by Dave McMenamin in the land where I'm hearing, are they selling courtside tickets on the streets now? Because people have to hold on to those things.
I had someone, I was holding the ESPN microphone in my hand and getting prepared for a live hit, and he walked by me, pointed at me, and goes, McMenamin, Cleveland will rise again! And then he kept on his Monday afternoon, kept on right walking down East 4th Street. So there's some girded hope here, but I think it's going to be certainly a process for the basketball team in this city, for sure.
Okay, so let's get the Cleveland perspective first. Where were you? When did you first find out? You found out from before the press release, or can
no,
you
I
tell
didn't
us?
Get tipped. I mean, I got a strong inclination on, I guess it was Thursday night. I want to say it's either Thursday night or Friday. I think I got an inclination on Thursday night and then got it confirmed with a stronger inclination based on someone I spoke to on Friday that the Lakers were the clear front runner. But when it came down Sunday, I checked in with some people in LeBron's camp and they wouldn't say when it was coming, or I didn't know when it was coming. And so I was actually on one of my phones with a friend who's a Lakers season ticket holder, who's been kind of checking in with me a lot throughout this process and wanting to get information, and I was just trying to pass the time because I had to be kind of on standby. I have a mini studio in my apartment, and they wanted me ready to go whenever the news came down. And as I was listening to him talk about the Lakers that he's been doing the last several weeks, I was on my other phone scrolling Instagram, and I saw the Clutch Sports Instagram account have this announcement. And like, I looked at it was like seeing like the ESPN Woj account on Twitter, that's instead of OG ESPN. There's all those fake accounts. So I was like, oh, someone made a fake Clutch Sports. And then I had my laptop in front of me, and sure enough, I had the email in there, and we were off and running. LeBron back to the Lakers. It was as much as I had mentally prepared myself for that to be the inevitability, it was still somewhat shocking in the moment.
It was shocking. It was. I mean, I'd just gotten off a 11-hour flight. So I was a little dazed and confused already, but when I got home and I saw it, it took a real good solid 40 minutes for it to like set in. I mean, we were expecting this, but just looking, I mean, following all of the news, and I watched you and Momo and the Zubinator, who absolutely put on a clinic last
awesome.
Night. Wasn't he awesome? I just want to shout out Zubin Mehenti, who is just so great doing that solo, no commercial breaks, handling all of yous. That was awesome. But so it's been a crazy day, and you've been on the streets of Cleveland doing live hits all day. Other than the guy who said that the Cavs will rise again. Like, what else is the vibe? I mean, I saw one dude, I think, but he was in Maryland, who was burning LeBron's jersey. But that's just because he wanted people to see it on the internet. But was the vibe mostly appreciative?
Yeah, I mean, I saw some people saying a group of guys, probably like late college years or right out of college, walk down the street and we're going, Colin Sexton, like the trying to get excited about this number 8 pick. There was a man who's a business owner on that street who told me it just felt like there's a pall over the city. And, you know, he was waxing poetic a little bit about what they had to go through now. And obviously he's probably thinking about the bottom line for his business, that he's kind of been in the black for the last 4 years, and it will probably change the math of his till. I've been in Cleveland for 4 years. It's been, city's been great to me, and I think they kind of know my face a little bit. So I was like a walking representative for the Cavs walking around today. Mm-hmm. And the vast majority of the people, and I probably talked to 30 or 40 people over the course of the afternoon, vast majority were just appreciative and saying, you know, we hope he's happy, and I'll always remember what happened back in 2016.
So are they taking that, the LeBron picture down today?
They are taking it down, my sources say tomorrow, but there is okay. like a thunderstorm that was supposed to hit today that could be pushed back to tomorrow, and if it hits, they're gonna have to reevaluate those plans. But the plan
how
is
poetic.
For
it was thunderstorm
very early on Tuesday morning. I know.
They're taking it down as thunder strikes Cleveland. Okay, well, look, he gave him a chip. There we go. And now he's off to LA. Momo, I know you're busy over there. Things are happening.
Yeah. I know, I'm texting and
I'm tweeting, you're
and
tweeting.
Talking as you
yes.
guys are talking. I'm like,
you're potty.
Tell me when it's my turn.
Yes, okay, it's your turn. Go. I'll okay. give you time to let it all marinate.
Thank you. Wow, it's been an interesting couple of hours here in L.A. I was just about to file a newser that LeBron had told the Lakers that he likes Lonzo's game and he's excited to play with him, because every interview I do, everybody goes, so what about Lonzo? Does he want him out? You know, it's more like, what about LeVar, right? And it's, it, you know, then they go sign Rajon Rondo. They renounce Julius Randle. And we're trying to sort of decipher those, because as they happen in real time, it's like, whoa, are they clearing cap space for something else? I still think it's an incomplete story here. So I don't want to, this might be, this might age out over the next couple of hours here. But from what I understand, they told Rajon Rondo that they, with LeBron here now, they want to have the best team that can win now. And, you know, the best man will win. I think that's a really interesting departure from last year, where they also recruited Rajon Rondo and he was going to be a backup. Like, it would be a mentor, veteran backup. They tried to get Derrick Rose as well. And they were very, very clearly, you know, opening the door for Lonzo to be the starting point guard for as long as possible. Now there's a competition on. Now it's not like, hey, you're not a rookie anymore, kid. You're not the face of the franchise anymore, kid. You're going to have to earn it. And, you know, Lonzo's a guy who's had some injury issues. They ended up with Alex Caruso, the white Mamba out there, who was like really everybody's favorite story last year. But, mm-hmm. you know, that ended up that way because Lonzo was hurt a lot. And they had Brandon Ingram playing the point. Remember, they had a lot of different combinations out there. And so they really needed somebody, you know, especially for a guy who has, who's been hurt a lot and is still dealing with a torn meniscus that he's recovering from. They need somebody to play some minutes out there if they're trying to win.
I think they could use them both.
Yeah.
Cassie, but like LeBron had a meltdown in the 2016-2017 season because the Cavs did not get a backup point guard after Mo Williams decided to get surgery the first day of training camp. And we went 2 months into the season and he was killing Dan Gilbert for penny pinching and not going out and getting Raymond Felton when they could have had a true backup there. So perhaps they can have them both. The thing I look at it, like, they got two point guards in this league who can't shoot, which mm-hmm. is not the ideal compliment to have with LeBron James.
What are these moves, though? Because
so nobody can shoot. That's the first thing I noticed. Okay. Everybody, it's as if they went out and got the whole team. They're like, you're only allowed to sign here if you shoot under 30% from three. Like, it's unbelievable because, like, Dave, you know, covering LeBron, he needs shooters around him. But I guess when you talk about basketball IQ, the Rajon Rondo is off the charts. So,
sure.
You know, that
right,
was
right. But as we've seen, it's fit for him. Yeah, as we've seen, it's fit for him. Not, yeah. I mean, his IQ can only take him so far if he doesn't have the right fit. And he found that with the Pelicans last year. But, I mean, that's a lot. I mean, he can, you know, bump heads with a lot of people. I guess I'm just trying to break down what these moves, because as you guys were talking about, they could use both in Lonzo and Rondo. However, it's hard not to read into, okay, so are they, did any of these moves kind of cancel out, or are we looking at making room for still Kawhi, obviously the number one target? With Lance and JaVale, those contracts, it was like, well, how do you do that now? And then now with Rondo, is that a precursor to trying to get Boogie? Like, what? I'm just trying to understand what Pelinka's doing.
I really think it's going to come down to, I don't see how Boogie fits with the style of play they want to play. They want to get up and down fast, and I don't see how he fits that. But I don't know, Dave, tell me if you think I'm wrong here.
I agree with you in the style of play part, but he's actually a really good outside shooter. And I know that's not the ideal thing for his total skill set. Uh-huh. But if it's something where it's like you're worried about his progression anyway, and you want to ease him into a role that you think he can handle without being necessarily all the way back from the Achilles. Like we covered, now Kobe was a lot older when it happened, but you know, the Achilles, it's kind of like a 2-year injury more so than a 1-year injury to getting back to where you are. And, you know, maybe he could fit in what they're trying to do as a floor spacer, like a stretch five, basically. But I'm with you, kind of the overall style of game is not ideal for the other pieces of putting in place.
Yeah, I mean, and this is all, here's what I think he wants. I think they want a really good defensive team. And I think that what you see between all these commonalities is simply, between all their signing is, you know, what did we see in that Houston Golden State series, right? We saw a lot of guys.
A lot of missed threes.
Yeah, a lot of missed threes, okay? Yeah. A lot of guys who can play multiple positions and guard defense, multiple positions. And I think they see that and go, okay, well, we don't have Draymond Green or Andre Iguodala, but, you know, Lance Stevenson and some of the other guys they've been kind of talking to. And JaVale McGee is a good rim protector.
Get up length.
Mm-hmm. Like these are not the Warriors in terms of being able to the elite level, you know, guys who can switch and play everywhere, but they do have those capabilities. And, you know, I actually understand the Rondo thing, and this is I'm going to choose my words very carefully here, but Lonzo Ball was the face of the franchise last year, and they made very sure that he was protected, that he was given every opportunity to succeed, and this is year two.
So I'm laughing because I can't, I need to see what this battle in practice is going to be between Lonzo and Rondo. Like, Rondo's going to eat him alive.
Well, maybe sometimes it's good. Maybe, like, listen, yeah. this is sometimes it's like it's good. Like, you get, in a rookie year, you get a long leash, especially when you're the number two overall pick, okay? And especially when they gave him a long leash with his dad. They gave him a long, you know, this is when you're not a rookie anymore and you've got a veteran team, it's like time to grow up fast, kids, right? Yeah. Like, we're not necessarily paving the way for you anymore. And, it may not be pleasant, but, you know, I think it's Rondo's has an injury history. Lonzo Ball has an injury history. This is not a team that can afford to lose its starting point guard and end up with a guy who's on a two-way contract starting for too long.
But you're saying that these moves are LeBron approved, okay?
They wouldn't do anything right now without consulting, at least. I can tell you that. I know I just checked on this. I just reported. I was just literally sending in that newser as the Rondo stuff came out. And
I mean,
just got off the phone with both sides there. The communication between LeBron and the Lakers is very strong right now, and it will continue to be strong.
It better be.
Yes. I mean, but Dave, so you're around LeBron, and you've been around LeBron locker rooms. These personalities, and I hate to just point out, these are strong personalities, immature personalities, at times. Like, how is a 33, going to be 34-year-old LeBron James looking to kind of settle into, you know, the back end of his career, going to deal with like a 4-hour-plus flight with this group of guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think he compartmentalizes the season, and, you know, he's really tough to start the year, and quite frankly, sometimes ornery when things don't look the way he wants them to look, and that's the whole Daddy LeBron thing. But he gives guys space to kind of do their own thing. Like, there was a click on the championship team between Jordy McRae and Kyrie Irving and Iman Shumpert, and they kind of did their own thing and, you know, listening to their own music and were singing in the locker room and, you know, doing their own stuff with fashion. And, you know, it wasn't – LeBron wasn't trying to really become a part of it necessarily, but come playoff time, like, those three guys were also invited out to all the group dinners. So I think it's okay. It will be an adjustment for him, though, I'm sure, just the amount of young teammates. I'm just curious about the Rondo thing. Like, are we going to give the LeBron presence the credit here, or is this dating all the way back, like, 4 years ago when Kobe was recruiting Rondo?
Point,
and they're
really
getting breakfast together, and Kobe was complimenting him as an a-hole, and Rondo's like, oh, that's the best thing anyone's ever called me before. I think he's an a-hole, too. And they were, like, high-fiving over it. Like, I think there's maybe something there. And obviously we know that I think Ramona mentioned it, and Lee Jenkins, you know, kind of detailed a little bit more in his piece that Kobe made a phone call to LeBron on, I think it was on Saturday, right? So maybe he's being an active participant in this team building process as well.
So let me tell you a story. So, you know, Andrew and I, we go to, you know, we have a lot of meals and discuss strategy and plans when I'm out here in Los Angeles. And the other night we were walking to a restaurant, and this guy walked up to us on the street. And Andrew, I appreciate that you sort of moved in to try to protect me from him, but he was trying to sell us. I mean, I thought he might try to sell us like pot or, you know, meth or something like that. But he was trying to sell us some bogus snake oil pills for something. And I thought it was a little bit ridiculous because I'd never seen anybody try to sell like snake oil on the street. I think that's, you know, mostly done, you know, in different on different formats. And you said to the guy, listen, man, if I want that kind of stuff, I can go get it from your average gas station. And I thought that was a really good comeback because I felt like that put him down.
Full disclosure, I stepped in just because you said you were going to pay for the meal and I didn't want to put that in jeopardy.
Speaking of that, I got really, really tired that night, and I forgot that I promised I was going to buy you dinner. I didn't mean to welch, but I just was so tired that night I forgot when the check came. I know that's a very convenient excuse, but I just forgot. So I want to apologize, and I'd like to, maybe I should offer to buy you some snake oil, but you said no. You know, if I want that kind of stuff, I can just get it from a gas station. And I was like, no, Andrew Hahn, no. You don't buy, you know, when you need a supplement, you don't go on the street and you don't go to a gas station. Where do you go? You go to 4hims.com, which is one of our new sponsors that provides all kinds of advice and products for men. Hair loss, skin care, and naturally, what's important to all men that nobody wants to talk about, Andrew, of course, is sexual wellness. And why, Andrew, is 4hims.com different than what you can get on the street or in the gas station?
I don't know, Brian. Why?
Because when you go to 4hims.com, you're going to talk to actual doctors when you need medical solutions, especially for hair loss, and they are going to give you legitimate medical grade solutions. So that's what we at the Hoop Collective recommend. So to get a free trial month of 4hims for just $5, you can do that. and you just go to the website, forhims.com/collective. That's forhims.com/collective. forhims.com/collective.
You know, the thing that I didn't appreciate when I was trying to intercede on your behalf with that dude is when you gave my full name out and you were trying to give my address and phone number and social security. It's just like inappropriate, Brian.
Fortunately, I have all of that memorized. It took me a while to get your social security number, but yes. But I just think it's—I just don't think we should walk on that street anymore. I think is really what the moral of the story is, because we took an Uber to this restaurant at one point, and it's not that far away, but there's. But it's, you know, kind of difficult to get to. And so we took an Uber, and the Uber ride, unfortunately, I don't think the Uber driver had ever driven in downtown Los Angeles before. And so we ended up going like 12 blocks out of the way. So we ended up having to walk, and we ended up running into the snake oil salesman. And it reminded me of how important four hymns can be, so you don't have to deal with that kind of stuff. So there you go.
Wow. It's almost like we planned it that way just so we could talk about it.
We always, it's very important in our lives, Andrew, to always be on the lookout and mining for hashtag content.
Momo, just one other thing that's happening today. The Lakers renounced the rights to Julius Randle. So
yeah.
Is there any more you can tell us about?
Yeah, I mean, so I had just gotten off the phone with a couple Lakers folks, and they had spent the last little bit trying to figure out, you know, one, I think they had an interest in keeping him, but I don't think it was for a long-term thing. It was more of a one-year thing, because as you can tell, every single one of these moves they've done is for 1 year. Preserving their cap space into 2019, which you don't have to be a genius to figure out that Klay Thompson and Kawhi Leonard are free agents then, and, you know, probably guys LeBron would want to play with, or you'd want to team with him. And so their sense was, I don't, you know, I can't report on this, but I can tell you they were trying to figure out if Julius A wanted to be there still, because, you know, I know he wanted to do an extension last year. That didn't happen. I know that he wanted, you know, I'm sure he wanted to stay here long term, and that wasn't going to happen. And, you know, I don't think, it doesn't seem like he wanted to be there on a 1 year deal, right? So if a guy doesn't want to sign the qualifying offer for a 1 year deal, you've got to move on, and you're going to lose other players. And, you know, my sense with Randle is that they liked him. They thought he was a good player, but for what they're doing right now, I thought once they got LeBron, it made it unlikely he would be back, just simply because they do need to start adding some vets. You can't have a bunch of kids out there without any vets.
What also does this mean for Isaiah Thomas?
Dave, could you take that? LeBron and Isaiah Thomas on the same team again?
Yeah.
I'll leave that one for you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's much to be said.
Well, Rondo, too. Rondo, yeah, too. Yeah. Remember, they got into a nice little...
Oh, yeah.
Well, but if Lance Stephenson is going to be welcomed by LeBron, then I guess anything goes. I guess having those battles when they're opponents matters more than having a battle when he's a teammate and he's ailing with a hip and LeBron's trying to win another championship. You know, Isaiah Thomas, what a story from start of his career to where he is now. But he's in a tough spot. And, you know, you wonder... Yes, Sacramento obviously has cap space, and maybe they can sell it as, like, you know, this is where he started his career. There's a storybook thing to that. You know, maybe he goes down to Atlanta and he teaches a young guy like Trae Young, you know, how you can succeed and score a ton of points in this league when you don't necessarily have all the size that some of your opponents do. It's, you know, one, I imagine it'll be a 1 year deal for him somewhere. I would be surprised if some team was like, hey, come be our starting point guard. It'll have to be a situation where I think there's cap space plus some added bonus to having him around.
Hey, Cassidy.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi, Han. I'm sorry. Andrew Han's also with us, ladies and gentlemen, as 25
minutes in, thanks.
Sorry, we just lit.
I just wanted to run down the Western Conference standings from last season, and can you stop me on your gut check impressions of how good this Lakers squad is based on the 5 minutes of roster investigation you've done? So stop me when you think the Rockets are better than a team.
When I think the Lakers are better?
The Lakers, yes. I'm sorry. The Lakers.
I have no clue about this team other than LeBron James. Okay, but we'll go.
Houston Rockets. Golden State Warriors.
Oh, sorry. That's not the rules of the game.
Portland Trailblazers. Oklahoma City Thunder. Oh. Utah Jazz.
I think they're better than the Blazers because I still have Bron over the Blazers.
Thunder? So basically, you're saying that there's somewhere 3, 4, 5 in the West. Dave, would you? I mean, you saw everyone was just trashing the Cavs last season. That supporting roster.
Like LeBron had to play all 82 games for the Cavs to be the 4 seed in the East.
In the East,
I think they'll be the 5 or the 6 seed. Quite frankly, unless somehow the Kawhi trade happens, and the way we're looking at the team right now, 5 or 6 seed. I do think. We talked about the Thunder, and some would say he didn't help them last year. I think Carmelo Anthony, I think he's going to get bought out and play for the Lakers and be their shooter that they're missing. Or try to be their shooter that they're missing. That's just
hey, listen, so compared to the other guys they've been signing, he might be able to.
Right.
Yeah. His percentage is actually pretty high, you know. Although I don't think he plays the up-and-down style they want to play, so that'll be interesting. And I don't think he wants to come off the bench.
I know he can be sticky.
They want to play.
He can be sticky with the ball. I agree with that, but he has the ability to play up and down.
Dave just mentioned this, so this is a wonderful setup. Ramona, you've also been covering the Kawhi Spurs situation. Like, do you think that this has put the leverage towards the Spurs or the Lakers, or like, what do you think is going to happen there?
No, I actually think that the Lakers are doing exactly what they, you know, you thought when they said last, you know, when LeBron told them, listen, I'm here for 4 years and I can be patient. Don't make any bad deals. I think everything they're doing signals that they're clearing cap space for next summer. And, you know, to me, when they do that, it sort of, you know, they can still make a trade. I know they're still in communication with the Spurs, but I actually think this takes some of the urgency off them. If LeBron's not in a hurry, why should they be? And, you know, there's still a deal to be made out there, but they're determined to make what they consider a fair deal, not a king's ransom. And if you're San Antonio, you get one chance to trade this guy and get as much as possible as you can. So I don't know. I think the Lakers and Philly, for that matter, get a lot more leverage every day this goes by.
Speaking of shooters, they keep losing theirs. Maybe the Lakers.
Dave, are you available? I know you're pretty good out there.
Yeah,
you get out there like Bellinelli did.
Most exciting thing about getting more time in LA will be to play a lot more basketball. But I am not in any sort of ability right now to talk smack about my game because I've only played like twice in the last 6 months.
Wait, speaking of, Dave, we should play that. Speaking of Mello, we should play that "I'm Coming Home" song for you.
Well, let's get it set up first. But let's make that happen. It'd be
true
fun.
Lakers form. We're speaking it into existence.
There you go. I like
why haven't we heard from LeVar yet?
Has it? guys, I got to tell you, I think he's jumped the shark, man. And I'm sort of proud of all of us, right? I'm proud of our news desk. I'm proud of everybody.
Yes.
Because he went on radio. He said stuff about like Paul George's damaged goods, and he went on, on and on and on, and nobody really picked it up. I mean, it was, it got picked up a little bit, a little TMZ, a little of this and that, but like people didn't freak out over it. They didn't overreact to it. And I think people have, I think he's going to fade because last year he and Lonzo were the story, right? They were the number 2 overall pick.
Yeah.
Big phenomenon. I think they've been eclipsed by the sun right now. I mean, this is LeBron James we're talking about. And like, why would you go stick a microphone in LeVar's face when you can talk to LeBron? Like, I just think they're in a different galaxy in terms of actual star power.
Yeah, I mean, you think of the first, we basically had a year of Lonzo in LA now. Think of the first 6 months of LaVar Ball. Wow, it was a runaway train. The last 6 months, his tongue's been cut out. Like, you haven't really had the same news cycles created by him. I mean, I think probably going to Lithuania had something to do with that too, but he doesn't have the same kind of cultural zeitgeist that he had before. And obviously, I think that's a good thing. But, you know, I'll say this. I talked to LeBron maybe a week or two before the Cavs played the Lakers for the first time, and it was really his first extensive comments about Lonzo. And he mentioned his dad, and he was not fazed by his dad whatsoever at that point. It seemed like he took some empathy on the situation Lonzo was in. And that's why I'm really curious to see how this thing plays out, if the Lakers do pursue a major trade with Kawhi or pull it off. I'd really like to see Lonzo and LeBron together. I think LeBron could help them a lot. And I think their games could certainly complement one another.
You know, and Dave, I'm totally with you. Like, I felt like with Lonzo, he showed what I saw in his first year was a guy with incredible basketball IQ who plays at a pace that really can't be duplicated. Like, you have to see it live to understand how it affects the game. And that's the kind of player LeBron would love to play with in terms of like basketball IQ and style of play. But Lonzo is not ever going to be your best player. Lonzo is in a lot of ways like Rondo, right? Like, just maybe a very different personality, but he is a guy that sets everything up. But he's going to look as good as the supporting cast around him. Like, he's not going to be your guy. He's not going to be your guy who does everything, you know, every single day, right? He's not going to be your 30 points a game, carry you to the win, put the team on his back. But he's the guy who makes everyone else look better. And to me, the more talent you put around him, the better he's going to be because, you know, yes, no one's ever going to guard him again. Like, that would be, if I was defending the Lakers, I would just say, just leave him open and we'll have five defenders on everyone else. This is a fascinating experiment, but I like that they create a little competition. I don't know how it's going to go. If Rondo beats him out, how's Zoe going to take that? If Zoe beats Rondo out, how's Rondo going to take that? Woo! Going to be fun. Going to be fun to cover.
Absolutely. Yep.
You two enjoy yourselves in LA. I mean, LA is, the Lakers are single-handedly making this, what is it, day two? Like, what? It feels like it's been a week already. Is any other team going to do anything now? Because I feel like Magic Johnson has one-year deals, like about 50 more left. That's all he's doing.
What is the roster number at this point? Like, I feel
you
like
get a one-year deal.
Just
you
people
get a one-year
added
deal.
And added and added. Yeah, it's wild.
It really is. There's stuff happening, and all that happened on this pod, so you're welcome, people. Good luck to both of you. I'll see you, Dave, in Vegas.
I'll see you in Vegas. Yep.